All right, and welcome to episode 3 of the Quotes and Mirrors podcast. I am Terrell James.
And I am Uncommentary, and we are very happy to be here.
Yes, yes, we are. We are very happy.
Can you hear me okay? You hear me okay?
Yeah, but
you sure? I ain't got to bring the whole thing.
Oh, you know what? The circular, so the mic, that's the...
I don't know what to call it, either screen of sorts.
No, I should know as many studios as I've been in.
You should, really.
Yeah, I'm just having a
don't say brain fart.
No, I was going to say a foggy brain moment.
I hate that phrase.
Yeah, I do too. That's what I just say. No, it looked like, because it's circular, it looked like the ring light. I thought you were speaking into the ring light. And
The fact that it didn't have a light, that didn't give you no indication that it wasn't.
It could have been turned off.
It could have been. Could have been. I'll give you that.
Well, I'm going to give you the floor to open the show. Since this is your quote.
It is my quote. It is my quote. I thought it was an interesting quote. I heard it earlier this week. And I thought, you know what? It introduces an interesting issue. So let's talk about it. All right, so that quote is, can you hear the drum roll?
I did hear the drum roll.
Nice, nice with the drum roll. I almost forgot the quote. If she cannot use your comb, do not bring her home. How about that? I say again, if she can't use your comb, don't bring her home. You think they heard me in the back?
I think they heard you in the back.
Think they heard me in the back? Did they hear me in the back? This church, you think so? I don't need to hit him with the y'all don't hear me. If she can't use your comb, don't bring her home. But yeah, that will be the subject of the sermon this evening.
Okay. We preaching, okay.
Well, you know, kind of sorta, you know, it's in my roots. Ain't nothing I can do about it. It's in my blood. Well, this part ain't, but so what you think about that? If you can't use your comb, don't bring it home. What does that mean to you, sir?
I think that comes from I don't want to say a place of hate. But I feel like it kind of comes close to a place of hate. Okay. Maybe not, depending on the person that it's coming from. So I heard this years ago, but I heard it from older generations of Black people who have come from a different time than us.
Okay.
Where racism was more prevalent, more in your face. And don't get me wrong, it's in our face now, but it's different. It's much different than what they were dealing with back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and that's why I hesitate to say it comes from a place of hate. As a matter of fact, I want to take that back. I don't want to say that.
You ain't really put it out there.
From a place of pain. What'd you say?
I said, well, you didn't really put it out there, so it's cool.
Yeah. I think it comes from a place of pain. I think it comes from a place of frustration. Because if we erase racism, if we erase slavery, if we erase everything that we've ever gone through, then that quote doesn't exist. I don't believe that quote exists. I don't believe it has anything to do with the texture of somebody's hair. Mm-hmm. I believe it has to do with the things that us as Black people have had to endure.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You diving deep on this one. You took in a good breath before you went under.
Yeah. I think that, you know, they are. It's not necessarily, like I said, it's not necessarily about the texture of the hair. It's don't bring no white girl home.
Now, is it just a white girl? Because a Puerto Rican or a Hispanic young lady, she can't use it any more than a white girl. An Indian young woman, she can't use it any more than a white girl would. So is it really about not bringing home a white girl, white woman, or is it about only bringing home a black woman or a black man?
I believe it's about, I think it's more so geared towards white people just because of the history.
Really? Okay, so yeah. Do you think that the statement in and of itself is racist?
I think, I'm so conflicted.
Maybe we should define racist, right? Because so racism typically is the idea that one individual is superior than the other based on the other person's culture, origin, color, right?
Right.
So I would say that the statement is racial, but I don't know that it's definitely racist.
And when you put it that way, it definitely isn't racist.
You know what I mean? So then, because I often wonder, they say black people can't be racist, right? And I have to say, I agree with that statement because we are not about saying that we are better than anyone else. We are about saying that we are not inferior to another.
Right.
We're not saying that we are superior. So, anytime that we have any type of bias, it is in defense. It is an effort to come from up under, a previous situation, the previous situation or actually existing situation. So I don't believe that we can be racist, but you were saying that you think that it comes from a place of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it comes from a place of conservation, where it took so long for us to be able to be us. Mm-hmm. So let's stay us, right? That's just my particular opinion about the statement. I think it's just about loving your black self and showing your love for your black self by loving a black man, a black woman. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I'll tell you what, I'm sorry, before you go any further, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard, as I've tried, I've been trying to tiptoe around certain things, but you know what, I decided I'm not tiptoeing around anything, I'm just going to be blunt. I have heard this from someone who said, if she can't use your comb, don't bring her home. When asked for an explanation on exactly what they meant, don't bring a white girl home. So that's okay. Where I'm coming from with this.
Okay, no. Because the thing is, that is understandable and probably the most common idea to be conveyed, right?
Right.
In most cases, if you bring home an Indian woman who has the same texture of hair as a white woman, or you bring home a Hispanic woman that has the same texture of hair, that's going to be accepted in most cases because these are still women of color. Right. And so you didn't bring the oppressor up in here. Yeah. I mean, expect me. You want me to embrace, because that's what a lot of times it happens, because that's really where the conflict is. That's where the conflict is. When we bring home another person of color, we have contrast. Right. But we don't necessarily have conflict. You bring home what is considered our polar opposite. Then the conflict has to be resolved from the beginning. Like, you have to erase when that, and I don't know that you necessarily could do that, but you have to erase that from the beginning because you're just like, what is this? You know what I mean? And I'll be honest with you. So me, it's only ever been a black woman for me. Right. But that's just me. I don't think women of other races are even attracted to me. I think I put off a certain energy. This says it's either black or back up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just me. I don't necessarily feel this way. Like if my children decide to bring home a white person, date a white person, it is what it is. But I think that the statement comes from conservation, from us, you know, being us and wanting to stay us. And I ain't gonna front. I have a preference, but I don't have a prejudice, right? So if you ask me my opinion, then I'm gonna tell you, yes, I'd much rather you come home with a black person. But if you come home with other than, I'm not gonna look at you sideways.
Let me ask you, why is that your preference?
Why is what my preference?
For them to bring home somebody that is black.
Well, I guess because for me, I always thought it a bit selfish. Specific, then let me kind of break it down. In reference to bringing home a white person or dating a white person, mm-hmm. I always thought it a bit selfish to, as far as interracial dating being black and white, because of it can produce marriage and then produce kids. And now I got children that at some point I'm going to have to stand on either side of the line. Mm-hmm. They're born in a gray area, but that's not where they will exist. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's always thought, you know, because I'm a bit of a serial monogamous. You know what I mean? So I'm always, when I was in a relationship or pursuing, everybody had their time, okay? When they were just doing their thing. But for the most part, I'm not pursuing a relationship just for the hell of it. I want to build. Mm-hmm. And if I'm built to the point of marriage and kids, I just think it's selfish for me to put my children in that position. You know what I mean? And then furthermore, I don't think that my white wife, she can help me and support me as a person. She can be sympathetic, but she can't be empathetic, right? Because she doesn't have a direct line to the experience. It's like everything that I experienced for her is going to be secondhand, if that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that makes it real difficult for her to do other than stand by me. You know what I mean? She can't speak for me. She can't speak with me. She can stand by me, in my opinion, right? Whereas my black wife, she can stand in front of me in the event that I can't speak. She can still speak for me.
Now, as it pertains to certain issues, you mean? Or black issues? Is that what you mean? Or just period?
No, I mean every issue. That's what I'm saying. There isn't an issue in which she can't really address. A woman, a good woman, is going to be able to stand in front of you, period. But, you know, if it's a white woman and you get to a black issue, she can stand in front of you. She can be willing to stand in front of you, but she's not going to wield the same power. You know what I'm saying? And so I figure I don't want that. I don't want to be at a place where, first of all, it can cause a whole lot of conflict that don't need to go on. Marriage is difficult as it is, right? Relationships are difficult as it is. So for me to add this element, because I don't care who you are, it is a situation that you're going to have to, you're going to have to at least address it. Whether it is something that needs to be overcome at all, it's going to be addressed. Whether it be your family, whether it be her family, whether it be society as a whole, the two of you deciding how you're going to hold each other down should somebody approach, that type of thing, it's going to have to be addressed. And so I just feel like it just complicates things where they don't have to be complicated. Mm-hmm. For me, right? For me. Someone else want to do that? That's the business. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you my preference, but I don't have a prejudice. I'm not going to look at somebody at an interracial couple sideways and be like, what is that all about? Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I get it. I also think that, you know, a lot of things are changing as I'm looking at the generations that are coming after us. Mm-hmm. A lot of the younger generations, they're not putting up with the racism. They're coming together. You know, I see a lot of black and white, for instance, during a lot of the protests.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Lives Matters protest, I saw a lot of white people doing, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. I've been listening. I've been paying attention. I've just seen a lot of just unity between, even in the midst of, I've seen a lot of unity in the midst of the division. Mm-hmm. but it makes me wonder, you know, all right, I'm gonna tell you a quick little story. So a few years ago, Terrell was my son, for y'all that are watching.
or listening, right?
Or listening. So my son was in school, and the teacher played, I don't remember what, I don't believe it was Roots, because they probably still be there watching that as long as that movie is. But yeah, that's a, yeah. But they played.
Take a couple days off for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we watched it in school. It took a week. It took a week for us to watch it. But but his I don't remember what movie it was that they watched, but one of his white friends came to him afterwards and was saying, they said, Terrell, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I had no idea that my people did this to your people. And he just kept apologizing. And these are kids. This was years ago. So Terrell's 16 now, but he was probably about 12 or 13 at the time. And I remember thinking, when he shared that story with me, I remember thinking, maybe racism can stop, can end with them, with that generation. Maybe, and so when I see interracial couples, especially younger interracial couples, and you know, you're starting to see it a lot on TV now, especially commercials are starting to, you know, put that out there. When I start to see it, it kind of makes me hopeful that this racism, that this stuff can come to an end. I know I'm kind of getting away from the point of the quote, but if I tie it,
I said not necessarily, because we're still talking. Okay. It's like I said, it has a. For some people, it is racist. It definitely has a racial aspect. So, you know, you're good.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I don't believe that it's racist. Now, I do believe that there are certain white people that will hear that or see this and think that it's racist. Yeah. But I also don't think that they understand what racism is.
Well, they don't understand what it is from our perspective.
Right, right. But the thing is, Oh boy. All right, I'm trying not to tiptoe, but I'm trying not to.
Nah, I say go ahead and let it rip. I mean, in reference to that, you know, if I may just interject real quick, they don't understand. They don't understand that black owned business and whites only are, it's not the same sign.
Right.
Exactly. That's not the same sign. They don't understand that. They figure if we're saying black owned business, then we're not saying a white person can't come in here. We're saying that when you do patronize here, you are supporting a black business. Right. They are saying, I don't care where you want to spend your money. Unless you're a white person, this is you know, not where you spend it. You
right.
That's the difference between those two signs. And so they don't understand it. That's why they ask questions. Like when you say you want to support a black business, and you know, my wife posted something on Facebook a while ago looking for a black business. Somebody says, well, isn't that racist? No, it's not racist, because it's not about putting down a white person. It's not about putting down a white business. It's about uplifting a black business. And like you said, they don't know, like they don't understand what it is. Like they really don't, because they don't necessarily have a heart that, you know, past generations have had. You know what I mean? So they don't understand what the difference is between those two. But yeah, it's a huge difference.
Yeah, there's a difference between being pro-black and being anti-white.
100%.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And so going back to the quote itself and tying that into what I just said, there are people. So when I heard it, which is the reason that I was hesitating so much about getting into this, is when I heard this particular quote, they were being anti-white. They were being anti-white, not being pro-black. They were being anti-white. And it was, don't bring a white girl home. But the reason that I say I do believe that it comes from a place of pain and it came from a place of frustration is that, you know, with all the things that, and anger, and it came from a place of anger too, just being sick of the way that they were treated. And then, feeling as if, you know, you have seen these people treat you a certain way. And of course, I'm going back generations. I'm not talking about us now, but back then, and this, again, I just want to reiterate, I'm talking about the people that I have heard say this, which is older generations. So when they have seen the way and have dealt with the treatment, the mistreatment from white people, it's like you've taken everything from me. You beat me. You have enslaved me. You've done this. You've done that. I'm not about to give you my heart. Right. You've only given me pain. I'm not about to give you my heart. And that's why I had to back off with what I was saying earlier. I mean, and even though I didn't say it was coming from a place of hate, but what I said was I feel like it kind of gets close to a place of hate. But I want to take that back too, because I don't think that it comes from a place of hate at all. It comes from anger. It comes from pain. It comes from frustration. It comes from being sick and tired of the mistreatment.
Okay, well, I would say that if it comes, that it can come from a place of hate, but only from the perspective of hating being hated.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So so from there, it can definitely come from a place of hate. And I believe that it is an anti-white, but only because they were anti-black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There was, you know, there's other areas, you know, that's got, you know, with classism and, you know what, I'm not going to act like I'm super educated and try to run that down. Right. But what I'm saying is that they introduced us to this hate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they introduced us to this hate, and it wasn't even like, we didn't even return the hate.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was, just leave me alone. It's not a situation. It's not a situation where once you turn your back and walk the other direction, then now I'm in pursuit of you. I'm gonna watch you fade to black.
Right.
You're gonna get smaller and smaller. As long as you just leave me alone, I'm good.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But once we realized we weren't getting our 40 acres and our mule, or even an apology.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, fine, just leave me alone.
That's it. Just leave me alone. Even you know, the situation in Oklahoma when they chose to, you know, Black Wall Street, they simply chose not to involve white people, right? And so we ain't messing with y'all. Leave us alone. That's it. Just leave us alone. But that wasn't enough. Nope. We gotta go blow this spot up, because we can't have this produce another situation like this, and then that produce another, because there's too much power.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's all it is. Just leave me alone. So this statement here, if I'm asking you to leave me alone, then if I'm asking the white man, the oppressor, to leave me alone, then I'm definitely going to encourage my children, do not contradict my my situation, my efforts, by requesting that they leave me alone, by bringing somebody in here for me to now embrace. Because that's the thing, man, Black folks, they are, especially when it comes to that situation, we are a loving people. You know what I mean? We are a love. If you do not hate us, we will embrace you.
Right.
And so even if you come from people that have hated us, right? You're not like you coming with a solution to racism. You're just not coming with the same idea. Right. Then we will embrace you. I don't have any problem, but you know, like, given I don't have a lot of white friends, right? But I do have some white friends, some genuine cats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not about that's why I say I believe we can't be racist, because it's not about a hatred. I just need you to stop hating me. You don't even know me at all. Just stop hating me. So I don't
know what? I'm fine if you hate me. Just stay out of my way. Just leave me alone. Hate me from afar. Because if I don't know that you hate me, then it doesn't matter.
Very true. Very true. You could just hate me in the privacy of your own home.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, so
you and your little racist friends can throw the N-word around all you want in your own home. Just keep that away from me, because I got things to throw to. So
that's a whole other conversation for me, because you know. But I understand when it comes from, you know, they can't just throw the N-word around. You know, I understand. That's a whole other conversation, though. but it is a conversation that has to be had. Should you Absolutely. Bring home somebody that cannot use your comb, right? Mm-hmm. So. And I still think it's about preservation and conservation of our existence and not introducing that, because the thing is, I guess in any situation, like in that situation, there's potential for it to exist, right? But if you eliminate that situation, if you don't bring that white girl home, we don't ever have to contend with that situation. It doesn't exist. It's not even a conversation before. You know what I mean? So But, I mean, so again, like I said, I got a preference, but at the same time, like I said, if one of these babies come home and they got a white girl or a white man on their arm, if you love them and they treat you like you need to be treated, then so be it. But I'm not going to front and act like there isn't a part in the back of my mind. It's not even intentionally reserved. It's just a situation of, you know, I know where you come from, just like he know where I come from to some degree. You know, because there's a black way and a white way, you know, of doing whatever the situation, right? So it don't have to be just racism. It could be, there's stereotypes. Right. And stereotypes don't come out of thin air. No. You know what I mean? They don't come out of thin air. The stereotypes come from observation. Mm-hmm. Of a consistent behavior. And so, you know, that's real. That's already going to be a separation. He's going to know, like, you know, if they got to know that there's certain references like that I'm not going to follow. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a general conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I guess that's another thing. Like, it's, I mean, every once in a while you do run across a cat who is relaxed and who is comfortable in conversation with black people, because that's maybe how it's always been, right? They kind of come up in that space. Which those are some interesting cats, like Michael Rappaport. He's an interesting cat. You know what I mean? He's a very interesting cat. He's like one of the blackest white men on the planet. You know what I mean? But you know, when you come home with that, it's got to be a conversation. I don't see how you would have to purposely avoid it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
what do you think about the black guy that brings home a white girl and his mother does not like her?
What do I think about that?
Well, remember I was saying that it doesn't come from a place of hate. I believe it comes from a place of pain and frustration. Mm-hmm. Now, if he brings home a white girl and she does not like the white girl and she mistreats the white girl and she does not have respect for the white girl, now is it that coming from a place of hate, or has it turned into a place of hate?
Well, see, that's kind of a hard one, right? Because when it comes to a mother and a son, whether it be a black or a white person, first of all, they don't think anybody's good enough, assuming that they think highly of their son, right? But they don't think anybody's good enough. So even a black woman that comes in, she's going to have to, I think the mother would appreciate that it's a black woman, but she's still going to have to prove herself as far as holding that position. And when it comes to a white woman, she got another 100 yards to cover before she even gets to where that black woman starts. You know what I mean? And that, like, you got to give people the chance. You can, you know, because if you, like for me, like I said, I have a preference, but I don't have a prejudice. If you're going to treat them differently just because they're white or not black, rather, that's not a preference. That's a prejudice. You know what I'm saying? So I would have to say that the mother would be wrong in that situation to dislike her until she gets to know her. But, you know, there's certain things, you know, people are different, right? I don't know you, when you're in school, a lot of times you have one or two teachers, right? You have the teacher where in their class you start with an A, and that A is yours to lose. And then you have other teachers where you start with a zero and you have to earn that A. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is the difference between those two situations. When that black son brings home a black woman to his black mother, she starts with an A, and that A is hers to lose. But when he brings home a white woman, that white woman starts at zero, and she has to earn that A. And I don't even know that the A is really feasible. A B plus might be as high as she can go. Yeah, you know I mean, until she starts.
That's passing.
Out. Huh?
That's passing, though.
It is. It is. And then once you start popping out grandkids, then that A might be available.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they're going to love them babies. They're going to love them babies. So, you know, that's my response to that in reference to a black mother that decides that she dislikes a white woman because her son brings her home. She got to earn the A, and I don't know that it's necessarily possible because, she's, you know, it's going to be graded harshly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So...
So, but it's not, you don't believe it's coming from a place of hate, or it has turned into a place of hate at that point.
I don't believe it's coming from a place of hate. It's coming from a place of concern, right? Because that is still something that you're going to have to overcome. Like, it's never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
In any event that you decide to build and eventually marry this white woman, that is something that you're going to have to contend with continuously, even and not necessarily in a negative space, even two interracial couples in the company of one another, they are still going to have to address the fact that they're interracial couple. It may be from a perspective of appreciation for one another,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's still a notable situation, and that's what, you know, I think people have to understand, like, it is notable. You know what I mean? I don't have to be prejudiced, but it's notable. Yes, I noticed that a black man is with a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's a notable situation. So you got to just kind of understand. Sometimes, honestly, that's all it is. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's all it is. So,
yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's not something that you can just sideswipe.
Right.
You know.
So tell me this. How do you feel about the interracial couple where the white person feels comfortable enough to use the word nigga and the black person is allowing it to happen?
Well, like I said, now that's another conversation for me, because the thing is, I am of the mindset that nigga is a character, not a color, right? And so, but I am also of the mindset that it's not a positive word. I know people use it in a positive light, but I don't think it's a positive word. I'm not losing anything by not using the word nigga. You know what I'm saying? I don't set myself up to have anything taken away from me by I'm using the word nigga. You know what I mean? But it's not a positive situation. So whoever's using it, in my opinion, it's not a positive situation. It can, and I ain't gonna front, there's times when I use it, normally it's in reference to a negative situation, even if I'm talking playfully.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You know, even I'm just like, man, that nigga crazy. That's not really a positive situation. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but other people do, because they embrace it. They purposely will plug it into a positive situation. You know what I mean? But the person that is allowing them to use that, you got to use some wisdom and know that, like, y'all need to have a discussion and know that that's not going to be universally accepted just because you all have decided to accept that. You know what I'm saying? Because you take that white person into a crowd of black people and they use the word nigga, and they might have meant to use the A, You know what I'm saying? They might have meant to use the A, but if somebody, if a nigga heard an ER, then that ER that you didn't add to the end of the word might be added to the end of your night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So y'all need to rap. For real. Y'all need to rap so that they knows, okay, hold on a second. You know, you might want to pump your brakes here. You know what I'm saying? Like kind of like maybe when you have a pet name, just to make it a little light. Mm-hmm. Like you have a pet name, or you know, you may not want your wife calling you booty in front of everybody, but at the crib she might call you booty. You know what I'm saying?
She so, does not.
Yeah, that's not coming from a place of personal experience, by the way. Yeah, you can't have that. Stop. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, you know, you need to have that conversation so that you can have that understanding, because you know what you're willing to accept. Just because you're willing to accept it doesn't make it necessarily acceptable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I disagree with any white person ever using that word, whether it's with an A or an ER.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation, I cringe when I see couples and the white person is using the word and the black person is just okay with them using it. Not even just couples, but just period, when white people are using the word so freely around black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you said, you lose nothing by not using the word.
Mm-hmm.
You could lose something by using the word, your you team. Could.
Yeah.
Your life. You know, you could lose something by using the word, but it's and so what people have done, what a lot of people have done, they've tried to like, I understand that words only have the power that you give them.
Okay.
But it's not up to you to determine the way I receive it. So
okay.
if I tell you don't use that word around me, and you keep trying to tell me, well, I don't mean it in a racist way, you know, I'm saying it, you know, the way I hear, you know, black people say it, you know, using it as a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your intention is. I'm telling you how I'm receiving this. And when right. I hear a white person use that word, I'm reminded of the fact that it was created as a weapon. So when I hear that word, I see a weapon being raised at me. So I'm asking you, are you raising a weapon at me?
Well, so the interesting thing about that for me is that I feel like, and this is quotes and mirrors, I feel like a nigga with a trigger is a digger of graves, right? And that is that, and I say that to say that if you can set me off, right, by calling me nigga, mm-hmm. one or two graves is being dug, either yours or mine, mm-hmm. right? But I don't have that trigger, because the thing is, it is a weapon, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a weapon based on its intent, and based on the response that it might garner, because in most things that are weapons start as tools, they become weapons based on how they're being used.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, in this situation here, I honestly feel like nigga being a character, if you're being a nigga, you're being a nigga. You ain't being a black man by being a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
So, now,
I agree with you. But mm-hmm. that's my perception mm-hmm. of the word nigga. I mean, that's me looking out.
Mm-hmm.
It's different when it's coming back. So looking out, yeah, I do believe the nigga is more of a character than a mm-hmm. color.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's coming from a white person, regardless of how they mean it when they say it, because I know the origin of that word, and you're not stupid. You know the origin of that word too.
Yeah.
So when it's coming from you, all of that character stuff is out the window now. All I'm hearing, all I'm seeing is the color of the person that's using the word.
So I don't like black men calling me nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer you didn't call me nigga.
Right. And that makes sense because you see it as a character. So I get it.
Right. And I know what you mean, because in that character,
mm-hmm.
right, in that character, there's a reckless commitment. When you say, yo, when a cat is talking about another man, say that's my nigga, what he's saying is he gonna ride for me and I'm gonna ride for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what he really is conveying. Mm-hmm. You can say that, but that's my boy, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? I can say it with that. It's not only is it a character, it's a reckless, dismissive character. So whether you be white or black, I don't really want you to call me that. You know what I'm saying? If you,
it doesn't sting more coming from a white person.
Honestly, I can't say that it necessarily stings more coming from a white person, because I disagree with it entirely. And so if a white man is saying F you nigger and a black man is saying F you nigger, how is it not the same outcome? Because both phrases are used by both individuals just prior to taking a black man's life.
Okay, but for different reasons. So,
how does that justify anything? How does that separate it at all? Whether I die at the hand of a racist, matter of fact, it makes it worse for me to die at the hand of a black man just because I stepped on his sneakers. It makes it worse for me to die at the hand of a black man. He doing a white man a favor.
But you're bringing up an extreme case. Now you're talking about killing. I'm talking about just simply using the word.
Well, I mean, but I think it comes from the same place. When you use it in, both of them can say the same statement. Just one ending in ER, one ending in A. Neither one of them mean me any good when they say it.
Mm-hmm.
If they both say F you nigger or F you nigger, they mm-hmm. both mean... Neither one of them mean me any good. They're not wishing me well.
Right. And I'm with you. And if somebody if I was in the same situation and a white guy said that to me and swung on me and I swung back and I fought, or if a black dude said it to me and he swung on me and then I swung back, the end result is the same as far as I'm fighting, but right. I'm fighting for two different reasons.
I don't think you would be fighting for two different reasons.
Oh, I am. Because with the white dude, I'm swinging with the power of the ancestors, okay? Yeah, he's catching these roots.
Okay, so I can see the difference, right? But
see, I'm angered for two different reasons.
You are angered for two different reasons, but neither one of them are of any value.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. Neither one is of any value. You know what I mean? And so for that be the situation, me engaging in either situation doesn't move me forward. It doesn't push me forward. It doesn't push culture forward. Honestly, well, bringing home a woman that can't use my comb doesn't forward. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to, just coming back to it, I really didn't think about that, but if you think about just simply being pro-black, then anything that constitutes oppression, in my opinion, should be deleted. Anything, regardless to its source, whether it be that white woman that I'm broke, that I'm coming home, and what she's standing for, or the potential of what she's standing for, or whether it be a cat that has decided, F you, nigga, a black man screaming on the street. You know what I mean? Because you ain't giving the situation no more respect. Like I said, it don't have any greater value. The end game is still violence. The end game is still ignorance. Not even just the end game. The source is still ignorance.
All right. And I agree with you. But my point is that my response to both of them, even though it could be the same response, it is for two different reasons.
No, like I said, I agree. Okay. Or should I say I understand? Mm-hmm. It is for two different reasons. But if neither one is of any real value, in my opinion, let me say that. Because neither one is of any real value, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't hold a greater weight one way or the other. You know what I mean? 100 pounds of feathers, 100 pounds of gold. It's 100 pounds.
Yeah, but, you know, a penny doesn't hold much value. I've dropped pennies. They ain't mm-hmm. got, they don't hold value. I dropped them too. So.
Well, but see, exactly. and see, that's the thing for me in reference to that situation. Like, again, just kind of going back to the statement of them not being your comb, don't bring them home. There's such a potential. For excuse me, not being your comb, not using your comb, don't bring them home. There's such a potential for conflict there in a situation like with that. Like, oftentimes, what we don't recognize is if a white man calls you nigger, he's inviting you to be a nigger. And you accept that invitation with open arms. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why I said, and swings on you. That's why I said, if you were to swing on me.
Oh, well, but see, that's not the typical response is not because of what you said earlier. The word is used as a weapon. Mm-hmm. So he don't have to physically swing on you. He has figuratively fired the first shot by calling right. you nigga.
So if he doesn't swing at me, then my response is different. But that's why I said swing, because we were, you know, I started talking about a situation where there would be fighting. Mm-hmm. So that's why I had to include the swinging thing, because words, I'm not fighting over words. Mm-hmm. They can call me nigger, with all of that stuff. I'm not fighting over words. Not now. I'm not fighting physically. Mm-hmm. But you're going to catch something. You're going to, mm-hmm. you know, I am going to say something to you about it. And if you don't like what I say, and then you decide to swing, now it's on. But
no, I get you. But the situation deserves to be checked. It is right. It is in position to be checked in that mm-hmm. situation. And even further, just kind of going back to the quote. If you think about it, right? All we doing is talking about the quote. And look at where the conversation is right now. Mm-hmm. And all we doing is talking about the quote. We just considering the circumstance. You know what I'm saying? That it actually will be, you know, let alone it actually being a reality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this is, I think, where it's coming from, again, from preservation and conservation, because it can give birth to the conversation that you and I are having can happen in a relationship. And I mean, where can it really go? You know what I mean? You're historically opposed to one another. One, because you said, you know, your history is that you've seen yourself superior. And my history is not that I've seen myself superior, only that I refuse to accept you seeing me as inferior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's accidental racism that comes from, and I call it accidental because you find that there are some white people that they don't have it in their heart to be racist, but because of what's portrayed in the media, because of the common negative narrative that's projected in the media, if that's what they see, that's their first introduction, then they consider, okay, that's black people, I don't want a part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, kind of the same way when, you know, when we, it's strange, when I was a kid, you know, they say you're talking proper, you talk white. Why in the hell is speaking proper white? You know what I'm saying? Properly. And it's such a, huh?
Properly.
Okay. Properly. Why is that white? You know what I mean? I have no idea. I got no idea.
Yeah, I hate to hear that. I absolutely hate to hear that, because words, words are not race specific.
Words are. No, I won't say that. There isn't such thing as slang, right? And there's white people slang, and there's
black people slang. I mean, just words in general. I'm not talking about once you start breaking things down and you start getting into the slangs and stuff like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that. I mean, the English language or the whatever language, the words exist. Bunch of words out here, they exist. And just because I may use a word that has a lot of syllables, it does not mean that I'm speaking white.
Right. But I do.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm good.
Well, there is a cultural vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There is a way where you, if a black man and a white man are both given the assignment of expressing a particular point, there is a way that, let me say this, there's potential for cultural signature to come through in the way that a black man might express himself versus a white man on that same point. You know what I mean? I you know, I can't deny that. It's like this, even just the tone of voice. You know, when you answer the phone, a customer service answers the phone, you know whether or not you're talking to a black man or a white man. You know what I'm saying? You know. and what we do typically is, if we hear that it's a black man, we fall into a space of familiarity. Right,
we do. That's 100%.
And that's just how we. And sometimes that, you know what? Sometimes they will too. I was actually at a Safeway. I was at Safeway in Edgewater some years ago, and I had to go inside and get some. I think I had to get some distilled water or something like that. But I was in line. There was a young white man in front of me. There was an old white man in front of me, and then it was me. And as they went through the line, the cashier said, "Good evening, sir," to the young white man. Mm-hmm. The cashier was white. He said, "Good evening, sir," to the young white man. Mm-hmm. And the older white man stepped up. He said, "Good evening, sir," to him. Mm-hmm. And then I stepped up. He said, "What's up, man?" when did we get cool, homie? You know what I'm saying? when did we get cool?
When we was born black.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, when did your customer service shift to now I can go ahead and, you know, I can relax a little bit. I don't understand that. You know what I mean? I'm not even sure how we got there just now, by the way. But again, just kind of.
Well, I appreciate that, though.
What?
I appreciate that because it's a connection that we have. It's a connection. We're connecting.
We
have
who?
A language that we understand.
We who?
Black men or black people in general.
Yeah, but this was a white man speaking to me. So what was to appreciate about that?
Oh, I thought you said that the cashier was black.
No, he was white.
Got you. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
No,
okay.
He was white. He said, "Good evening, sir." Because I watched it. The reason I paid attention, I was because I'm a fan of customer service. You got good customer service, I'm going to holler at the manager. I'm going to say, "Yo, my man right here did his thing."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when I see that good customer service, I see him say good evening, sir, as people come up, he's greeting people, because a lot of times they won't even greet you. They just start ringing up stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But he greeted the young man, said good evening, sir. Then he greeted the older man. Actually, excuse me, he greeted the older man first. That's my fault. And I was figuring, all right, respect for elders. Mm-hmm. Then the young white guy come up and he says, good evening, sir. Okay, good customer service. Then I stood up. What's up, man? Hold on, son. What's going on? Why don't I get the good evening, sir?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know how we got there, but this statement, this statement, this is what it has the potential to create.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it can, I'm not saying that it can't successfully be pursued, but what I'm saying is that it has the potential to create this circumstance and these conversations where the same energy could be put into building up Black. You know what I mean? And so that's why I have a preference. But again, you know, I know it's hard to say I got a preference, but not a prejudice, because it's a fine line. But I'm not going to tell my children, don't bring home no white man, don't bring home. And I'm not going to make this statement and say, if you can't use your comb, don't bring it home. Mm-hmm. It was just an interesting statement to me. I thought that it actually brought about an interesting issue, but this is not, I am not of this mindset, because you love who you're going to love. You know what I mean? But again, if you ask me, expect me to be honest. Don't resent me for my honesty. You asked the question. I didn't bring this up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't resent me for my honesty and don't feel like, you know, I'm being disrespectful. Because
you can't tell a person how to feel either.
Huh?
Yeah, you can't tell a person how to feel.
See, that situation there, you can't tell the person how to feel, but you can tell the person. I hesitate to say this like you would talk.
But you see what it feel like?
I can't. Right? Because I can't tell the person how to feel. But if I feel that you're wrong about what you feel, then now it's just a never ending circle.
Yeah, well, you're feeling what you feel, and that's okay.
Yeah,
it could be, and you could feel that the person is wrong. They could feel that you're wrong, and it could be two different truths.
Yeah, it could be two different truths, or it could be a misunderstanding. You know what I mean? It could easily be misunderstanding, or because misunderstanding and lack of understanding is not the same thing. Right. Lack of understanding is the absence of understanding. Misunderstanding is a mistaken understanding. You know what I mean? So that could be present as well. And I get, okay, I can't tell you what you should feel. But just because I can't tell you what you should feel don't mean that I agree with you feeling what you feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't have to agree for that to be the truth. And we could spin this out further and further and further. Yeah, I mean, I'm too Black and white of an individual, pun intended, to really, really deal with that gray area. I think that there's certain spaces where things are just what they are. You know what I mean?
And I live in that gray area. But that's part of the reason that this podcast is so good, because you're Black and white and my gray. It just comes together.
Yeah, colorful, man. You have to give me some insight on how to deal with that gray, because that's where a lot of processing takes place. And I'm more of a. This is the problem. Identify the solution. Execute it. Let's move on. You know what I mean? I'm more of that.
I'm that too.
Mm-hmm.
So. The gray area for me doesn't apply to those situations, because okay. If there's a problem, It needs to be identified. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed. And then we need to move on. So right. I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. I guess where I would, I guess in an instance like that, where I would say there could be a gray area is if there is a difference of opinions on what the problem is, or even if there is a problem. Because the thing is, in order for us to come to an understanding, both parties need to be open-minded. And oftentimes mm-hmm. when people are talking, I'm trying to prove my point, you're trying to prove your point. Instead of me maybe just trying to understand why you feel the way you feel, and you trying to understand why I feel the way I feel. See, now we're getting into that gray area. How in the world did we get to this point from this quote? How did we do this?
Well, I guess, honestly, we were talking ultimately about black and white, so we can't really help but end up in the gray.
And on that note,
we reached the end of the third episode, huh?
I figured out how to go ahead and close the show out too.
You didn't feel like it was a good idea to tell me before we was live?
Nah, yo, you know I like surprises. Like that's me being in the gray area.
You like surprising. This ain't a surprise to you.
You right.
What's going on?
So, first, we forgot to tell them. All right, so last week when we ended the show, right. We told them what the quote was going to be, but it's a different quote this time.
It was a different quote.
So, our bad, but, you know, come on. So... Sorry. Yeah, it may happen again. Probably won't.
Oh, it'll happen again. Definitely.
Okay, it'll definitely happen again.
Yeah, it'll happen again.
But we're going to try to limit the amount of times that it happens. But right, if something better comes along, then we'll, you know, we're going to run with what's better. But
yeah, that's what's up.
So next week's quote comes from my favorite rapper slash favorite podcaster, Joe Budden.
Nice.
So he said, the greater your gift is, the greater slave you'll become to it.
The greater your gift is, the greater slave. I don't want to be a slave at all. That's going to be interesting. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So that's what we are going to touch on next week.
Okay. You ready to wrap it up? If all hearts and minds are clear.
Yes. We want a pass collection played around. I mean, yeah, you know what? Just Cash App. Yo, I'm telling you right now, I think some preacher came up with Cash App. He was sick and tired of people coming and talking about, oh, I left my money. I couldn't put anything in the collection plate, so I didn't have the money. You got your phone though, don't you?
You got your phone, homie.
Yeah.
There's a million ways to give. There's a million ways to give.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we ain't saying you need to do a Cash App. We might think Pantheon later on. You know what I mean? we might. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, ultimately, you podcast, you want to monetize. But we enjoying ourselves regardless. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we enjoying ourselves. And we appreciate y'all listening. All both of y'all just listening.
So, and on that note, and I quote, peace out.
Peace out. That's how we're going to end it. Just peace out.
Yeah. I'm with that. Well, on that note, and I quote, peace out.
On that note, and I quote, peace out.
Peace out. Yep.
All right. I'm commenting.
All right. We out of here.
Quotes and mirrors. Nah.